Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Rosebud. Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 397, the box office report for the week ending July 29th. There.
Summer's almost over.
And I think that's the first time I've done that without my cheat sheet in front of me.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Summer is almost over? July is almost over.
That's true, yeah. Well, I mean... But kids when you go have, back to school.
Yeah, when you have kids, the kids go back to school so early now that I think ours go back on the 12th of August.
Yeah, it's like mid-August for me. Yeah.
Can you believe Halloween is next week?
I know.
Christmas, they're going to start playing Christmas music next month, right?
Yeah. Oh, don't even worry, yeah.
That's for the subscribers who don't listen to this the week it comes out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, they're going to be all spun around. Oh, how was your Valentine's Day? So I guess we could start by going around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
I'm Paul.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I'm not even going to explain Paul because he's been on enough. I feel like you either know or you don't. So,
and if you don't know, now you know.
I'm a semi-regular.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. I would try and see if we have an iTunes review, but I can't get my iTunes to work anymore.
Oh, I guess that's on me. I'll look.
Oh. Yeah, you always cheat anyway.
I do not.
But yeah, I can't get it. Like it says, type in your password. It won't work. I forgot my password. I put in a new password, and then the next time I log in, it's like that password isn't right.
I don't even keep iTunes on my computer anymore because it's such a virus itself. Like if you don't have Apple products, like
right.
If you're a PC person. You don't need iTunes, you know what I mean? I know a lot of people depend on it for backups and their store or whatever, but for me, I have some Apple devices and I would use it to like just hook up and do one thing every once in a while, but now I'm like, I just don't want it infecting.
I literally only use it to see if we have any reviews.
Yeah.
That's all I use it for. So.
Because it's like, it has stuff running all the time and it pops up and it seems to like infect your computer.
And you never have the latest version.
No.
Right. No.
I don't know. It's interrupted downloads of its updates to tell me there's an update.
No, you could close it after just updating it and using it and then open it immediately and there'd be a new version.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what screwed it up for me is because I had said no to updates for so long that like it's still like Steve Jobs was still alive.
Yeah.
Did you read one from May 24th?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Then
of course he did. It's almost Christmas.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's Groundhog's Day. Come on. So
from Corbin the Bishop?
Yes, we read that one. Right. So, but he got a double mention now. Congratulations.
Well, there you go.
How could you forget Corbin the Bishop?
It's very easy.
Who
for me
also
to get
sounds
all
like a WWE
things.
Wrestler
with the in quotation marks.
Yeah.
So he's actually a bishop. It's
the bishop.
It's the he doesn't right. want to take full credit.
He's actually Corbin a bishop.
Right.
But he calls him the.
He hopes to one day
be the bishop. The bishop.
Yeah. So that's the progression. It goes Corbin a bishop. Corbin the bishop, and then if you stay in school, you eat all your vegetables, Corbin the bishop.
Right.
See, that's
with a capital TH.
Correct.
I think it's fair to say though that he is the bishop of this show. Like we don't have, I mean, if there was an official bishop,
sure,
it would probably have to be him.
Sure, yeah. Go for it. I don't know. Who's the guy that messages us and is like, hey, stop being so mean to the Christian movies?
I don't know. Yes. I don't know that he's a bishop, but yeah.
He should be our bishop, what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
He should be our bishop.
I don't know that he listens anymore. Is that Michael? I think.
Did we finally run him out?
Well, I haven't heard from him in months.
Oh, no. Maybe we just haven't said anything horribly offensive.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
I doubt that.
Okay, that's fair.
Tell us if you still listen, because, I mean, we hope that you do, and we don't want to scare you away, but I know that we heard from, regularly in comments, shares.
Is it Tonkovic? Michael Tonkovic?
I don't think that's him. It might have been. I believe it's Michael something, and I just can't think of the name right now. But yeah, hopefully you're still there. Let us know.
Yeah.
Hopefully it didn't go the way of Disneyland Matt.
I know.
Just dropped off the face of the planet.
I feel like we must have done something. He was sharing every week, and then just poof, he was gone. And he was our end for Disneyland,
too. He was. Yeah, no more Dole Whip.
It was, although I'm not going to lie, I was a little relieved when he went away, because every week in the League of Show Sharers, I would make up a new Disney-themed profession for him.
That's right.
And so, one week he was in charge of the Dole Whips, the next week he was in charge of, removing all the rapist animatronics from Jungle Cruise. And so
I don't remember that one.
I don't know. I see, but it's hard.
Right.
It was hard every week to come up with a new one.
You'll hear from him now.
Yeah. So was he on Jungle Cruise?
What's that?
Nothing.
Oh, gotcha.
Keep going.
So
he was dumping. Never mind.
Yeah. So, but speaking of show sharers, you could be one. It's very easy. Just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. And while you're there, join the League of Show Sharers by sharing an episode. People who were kind enough to share the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, Timmy Two Zunes, Lane LeVanway, Travis Tewitt, Griffin Fox Smith, Julianne Jordan, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, Ralph Tribble, Zach Bach, Tammy Sherman Powers, Jason Weesey, Troy Anspaw, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Musings of a Cosplay Witch, Chris James, Tom Comiskey, and Richard Lawson. So thank you very much for sharing the show.
Linnea Thunsell also loved my joke.
Well, good. There's one.
That's a new record.
Congratulations.
I'm just saying. That's an all-time high.
Should we mention everybody that enjoyed each joke on our podcast from the week?
No, my jokes. It's just Linnea Thunsell. That's
Well, that's true. Since it's so rare, we'll just mention Joe's. Okay.
So there. That is all that. I guess we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And I think it's no surprise that this weekend, number one at the box office is the movie of the week, Mission Impossible Fallout. It made $61 million estimated at the box office. That seems light. That seems really light, especially since they're shutting down MoviePass over this movie.
Man, goodbye MoviePass.
What a mess. I mean, seriously, they first of all, on Thursday,
Friday.
Thursday, they ran out of money.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thursday, they ran out of money and nothing would work, so people couldn't go see their Thursday night previews and all that stuff. And then Friday, it was still messed up, but they fixed it mid-Friday. And then they deactivated Mission Impossible. So instead of their new thing they did was surge pricing. So it's $3 to $7 to see a premium movie.
But everything was premium. So I did that for... What did we do last week? What was
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. Here we go again.
Okay, so The Equalizer. Yeah. A 10 o'clock showing.
10 a.m.
What did we see last week, Mamma Mia? The other movie.
Okay.
10 p.m. on a Thursday got the upcharge. Yeah. And I'm just like...
But it's the same thing. I mean, 10 a.m. on a Friday morning with four people in the theater had it. It's their way of not raising monthly rates, but raising rates. And so they did the premium.
I got to ask, what's the surge pricing on a 10 a.m. Friday morning screen?
It's the same as $3.
You can see the movie for $5.
Yes.
But
in our market, in New York, L.A., a morning movie is probably $12.
Gotcha.
And so $3 is better than $12.
Sure.
No, we get screwed because, get this. So Mission Impossible Fallout is blacked out across the board. So, again, they reinstated. So they paid them on Friday. They got their money and their processing back up, but they left Mission Impossible completely deactivated. So it's usually no IMAX, no fancy seats, just it's basic 2D, whatever. But they left everyone blacked out. They said this premium screening is not supported, which is BS. But then I go to see my movie and, I'm pissed off, of course. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm going to see another, regular showing. My tickets are $5 and MoviePass won't let me buy a ticket. It's $5. $3 would have been ridiculous. But
The
fact is that they won't even let me use this service to see a $5 movie.
I don't know.
It went from free movies to it's a coupon book,
right?
To it's a Macy's coupon.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it?
Oh my god!
Yeah.
It's bigger. It's like more than half of the bottom of the coupon, right?
Yeah.
No name brands. No.
I have some S&H green stamps. Can I get into the movie? Yes, you can. Yeah. Movie pass guys, stay out.
Yeah. Does anybody but me know what green stamps are?
No.
I mean, are those the books where you collected the stamps and then turned them in for discounts?
Every time you went to the supermarket, they gave it to them, and they were not self-adhesive. So
you gotta lick that stuff back then.
Millions of kids in this country were poisoned.
That's how George Costanza killed his set fiance.
That's right.
That was actually an episode of the Brady Bunch. Remember, they were saving up their green stamps.
Really?
I think they had a different name for them, but they were saving up their stamps to get something or other.
But
that's funny.
I will tell you. So, I mean, obviously, this is a cost-cutting measure. All this is to do is because they knew Mission Impossible would hit.
Oh, yeah.
It would sell. It would cost them millions of dollars, literally, to buy tickets to this thing. And I'll tell you what. When I went to see this movie, it was 2:30 on a Saturday. So, not a Friday night, not a Saturday night. 2:30, middle of the afternoon. Five other showings around the theater and other things. And it was packed. I have not seen a movie. I mean, we see a movie every week, and I have not seen a movie packed like this in a long time. So I'll tell you what, that probably would have put them under.
I have to believe they're good. I give them a month.
Well, the problem with the business model has always been, which we've already seen start to take place, is that if it works and if it's effective, the movie theater chains will just co-opt it.
Right.
Which AMC did.
That's what I'm saying. And AMC did it. But it's like, but if it's going to work, they'll just do it and keep all the money themselves.
Yeah. Why spend money on a third party?
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of cost to create an app like that. There's a lot of cost to maintain an app like that.
Sure.
That's why it's AMC, the huge corporation, the biggest theater chain in the world. I mean,
are they doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You know, they're doing it because they can put that cost up.
And theirs is more expensive, though.
Theirs is more expensive, but
no limits.
Yeah,
and it will work.
Yes,
that's true. Yeah,
I
don't worry about it going down.
I think there are limits. I think it's 3 movies a month.
Right?
No, 3 a week.
Oh, 3 a week.
But I mean, that's 3 out of 7 days of the week. If you can see a movie 7 days of the week.
And by the way, good luck finding 3 good movies worth going to every week.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah.
Repeat viewings?
No limits other than 3 a week.
Okay. Mm.
I can go see a 3D IMAX at 10 p.m. Friday night, $20 ticket, and my $20 a month for 3 a week one ticket costs. But anyway, that's how I saw it. So I have AMC too. I tried it out. First of all, I know MoviePass is going under. So I'm like, well, I'll get used to AMC now. And I just used my AMC, bought the ticket. I could have seen IMAX, 3D, no limits. And I even tweeted at him because MoviePass put this ridiculous tweet up.
I saw that.
What a bunch of a-holes.
For people who haven't seen it. Yeah, it's like basically mocking AMC's.
Yeah, they're like,
equivalent.
Oh, way to copy off of us, and it's more expensive,
and you can't see as many movies, and it works.
one fourth of the available screenings, 40% more of the price. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Can you reserve seats?
Yeah,
ahead of time.
Yeah.
Oh man,
how far in advance?
That's the question.
Anytime you want.
Wow.
Yeah, I may have to switch.
I can reserve a week in advance. I mean, within the week, I think.
AMC owes us money for this portion.
Yeah, I know.
Show.
Yeah.
But seriously though, so you spend $10 more than Movie Pass, and you get IMAX, 3D, reservations. No, you see a movie every 3 times a week,
and the right to pay $20 for popcorn.
That's true.
In fairness, you had that with Movie Pass.
Yes. and AMC has the annual popcorn bucket. So you just pay $20 at the beginning of the year, $10 if you get it halfway through the year. You get your popcorn included in that, and it's $4 refills.
Okay.
Unlimited. So $4 a time.
Explain this to me about Movie Pass.
Yeah.
Thursday, we are out of money. We cannot give you anything for any movie you go to. Friday, okay, we can give you money. Where did that money come from?
They took a loan.
Letter of credit.
In 24 hours, they went to a bank, and a bank gave it to them?
I'm sure the bank's like, you can have it. Because guess what? We're going to own you in a month when you can't pay
us
back.
Who wants to own that?
Yeah, I guess that's
right. Well, someone will buy another theater chain will just buy it and then use all their technology and call it Regal Ticket, or
even keep the MoviePass name since it's already branded.
Yeah. That's true. And actually charge
and actually have it function consistently.
So, I wonder if a local, because that's nationwide, but in St. Louis, I wonder if Landmark and STL Cinemas teamed up.
Well, Landmark's national.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then it doesn't matter. I thought, because STL Cinemas, I guess, is our only local chain.
But they have two?
Three.
Okay.
Well, Four.
Yeah, I mean, they could never afford
it. No, not at all. Yeah. But I thought if they partnered with somebody.
Yeah. I don't know. Someone will scoop it up because it works. And I mean, if a company like AMC is adopting this, I mean, and, you know, they're not going to invest in it if they thought, oh,
Marcus would.
Hello, Marcus Movie Pass.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they own a lot. They're a big chain. Right. So, yeah, that could be it. But anyway, so it will be interesting to see what this continues to do. But yeah, I agree. It seems 61 seems a little light, but
it's also odd that. Because Mission Impossible has always been, even when Tom Cruise is at his lowest point in popularity.
The Mummy.
Yeah, right.
That's what he's coming off of.
But Mission Impossible movies seem to be above that. Yeah. Like, they seem to be immune to that. But also, Mission Impossible Fallout is really good. Like,
yeah,
it's getting rave reviews. So even if you're like, I'm not sure if I trust Tom Cruise anymore. The movie's at what, like 95% on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that?
Yep.
So, I mean, like, you would think people would go ahead. I don't know.
I think we're maybe just a little bit skewed because of all the, like, the superhero openings. We're used to movies opening at $200 million because Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, the fifth movie and the one right before this, opened to $55. So this already beat
it. Oh, okay.
And that that ended up at $700 million worldwide on a $150. So, I mean, this is on pace to do better just by opening. So.
Right.
You know, I think we're just like, you know, we used to, you know, $220 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
So when we see 60, we're like, ugh. And we think, well, this is a huge movie. It should do 100.
And comic books have really skewed it to where you're like, oh, that's weird. Because, I mean, Spider-Ham opened $300 million.
Yeah.
You know, they can get anything.
You know that's happening, right?
Are they really making a Spider-Ham movie?
He's going
to
be in that Edge of the Spider-Verse. Oh. I swear to God.
That trailer looked pretty good.
I know. Yeah.
It looks decent. The animation weirds me out that they're doing stop motion CG. Why are they doing
this? Like, it's something I've never seen. The animation's unlike anything I've ever seen. And they're going to have all of these different, like, Spider-Man Noir, Spider-Punk, Spider-Ham, Spider-Gwen. That's Miles Morales, Peter Parker. Yeah. I was like, yeah, let's do it.
I like the concept. I think the thing is that when you go to the movie theater and you're... Like, when you're going to the theater, you're expecting top-notch animation. And so when you see a theatrical-released film, not a straight-to-video, not a TV movie, not a TV show, you see that animation, which is a little more... It just doesn't look as polished. Uh-huh, it just makes you think, like, oh, why are they doing that? So that's the only thing. But the content could be good. And
We'll see.
So anyway, yeah.
Could you imagine... So, you know, he was going to be Spider-Man.
Who's that?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like
a million years ago.
Yeah.
When he was 20.
Canon Films had the rights. Toby Hooper, rest in peace, was going to direct it. Oh. And Tom Cruise was going to be Peter Parker.
You sure it wasn't Steven Spielberg directing it?
No. Not for Canon Films.
Oh. Well, you still got a Toby-based Spider-Man.
That's true. You
there
did.
You go.
Contractually,
a while they had
later.
To have
Toby. You got to have a Toby in this movie.
So, Mission Impossible Fallout had a $178 million budget. So they upped the budget about $28 million from the last one.
That's Henry Cavill right there.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it is.
So, and the mustache yeah. that sunk 1,000 ships. We'll have to see. We'll get into that one next time. But coming in at number two is Mamma Mia. Here we go again. So the movie from last week, and I think Joe's. Do you say of the year or favorite of the decade? Was that?
I said nothing of the sort.
Oh, I can't remember. It was one of the two, but
it was neither one.
I remember Joe called it a movie.
Yeah. It is. It's on. It's. It, yes. Yes, they filmed it.
It was projected and reached the other wall.
Yeah. It was in focus.
Sometimes.
Very much so. But that one brought in $15.3 million, which is a 56% drop from opening weekend. It is now at $70 million domestic and $65 million overseas. So we're up to around $130 on a $75 million budget.
Who knew Greece would turn out like that?
Well, did they? I mean,
they just filled the other. Like, you have to go see this movie.
Yeah,
it's the law.
It's the law.
But
it's part of their austerity measures.
The odd thing is that they filmed on the WB backlot.
That's right.
Apparently,
yeah.
So
well, they didn't tell the people in Greece that.
Those people are like, oh, it's home. Wait a minute. That's not over there. Wait,
why is the Batmobile in this movie?
If you go to Greece and tell everybody they have to go to the movie theater, they go, "Oh, Nia Vardalos finally made another movie."
Right. Wow.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You're welcome, Tom. That's why we bring Paul on to give you someone to talk to. So anyway, that one's making money. Number three, The Equalizer 2, $13.6 million is a 62% drop for that one in its second week. And that is now at almost $64 million and $62 million budget on that one, $3 million overseas. So
what a disappointment that movie is.
Oh, really?
See, I kind of dug it.
You did?
Yeah.
I expect more.
Paul's like, okay, cool.
When I rated it, I gave it a 6.5, so I'm not saying it's a horrible movie,
right.
But I expect more from Denzel Washington.
I guess I was so bored in the first one that I was surprised I wasn't more bored in this one, and so I
can't believe you were bored by that first one.
Do you expect
it was
more
awesome.
Out of Denzel in an action movie, though?
I expect Denzel in every movie.
But I mean, like, I think what like Denzel in Training Day is a different Denzel than you're going to get in the Equalizer. Like, I feel like Training Day was a passion project. Equalizer was a paycheck.
I just expect more from him because he's one of our best actors.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
He's starting to look old, though.
He is old.
Yeah. But he's starting to look it. You're not allowed to do that.
It's weird. Like, so, you know that roast of Bruce Willis is coming up.
Right.
On Comedy Central. And he stands up, and I'm just like, yeah, he still looks like Bruce Willis. And then you look at Denzel, you're like, you put a little fluffy there, buddy. What are you doing? But like Bruce Willis still looks like
there was a couple shots in The Equalizer 2 where he just really kind of had
little haunch.
The old man shoulders, you know?
But I feel like he's the same age as Bruce, right? Like they're pretty
roughly,
comparable.
Yeah.
Mid-60s?
But Bruce has shaved his head now for 20 years and like, you know,
he got
I mean,
out
he's
in front
kinda,
of it.
He owned it.
I guess that's true.
Denzel,
but he still looks like he's in fairly, like he doesn't look like an old man. Like, I feel like Denzel is starting to get
I don't think
that.
He looks like an old man. I think he just looks... And by the way, in this movie, he's supposed to be a guy who's
That's
kind of
true.
Retired from
sure.
the business and wants to go home and read a book. So
That's
you know
right.
it's fiction.
Yeah.
And he just wants to sit around and keep an eye on people, but not really do much.
It's like I said last week, you know that the character's supposed to be old because there's an entire scene where he does nothing but eat soup.
That's right.
And I'm not even joking.
Nope, that's a total scene in this movie.
That happened.
You're correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sitting at a table eating
just
soup.
Eating some soup.
Can't wait to rush out to the theater and movie past that one before he goes under.
Yeah, you may as well.
I'm going to
That's some great action beats.
Yeah. I'm going to use the crap out of my movie pass in the next, you know, because I know
hopefully
there's not
if
long.
If nothing's blocked out.
Yeah. Luckily, you can e-ticket anything you want. So I mean hopefully MoviePass isn't listening and doesn't turn that off, but you could have e-passed Mission Impossible, but there's only one theater in the area and like it didn't mesh with my times or whatever, but that's kind of cool. So and yeah. I heard around the country everyone else said too the e-ticket works where you can
it
use
it. Didn't work
so.
At where I went.
What is the e-ticket?
Electronic, like yeah, you just reserve it through the phone instead of like
I thought it was all through the phone. I don't know.
No,
I've never
you
done
buy
it
through the phone. Like usually you have a credit card that it loads the funds on.
Oh, okay.
And you swipe it at the theater. But this one is like show them your phone. You just bought it through the phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't everyone do that?
What's that?
Why would you go there and swipe it at the theater if you can do it on your phone ahead of time?
No, only one theater in the in our market even has that capability.
Oh, I see.
I would do that every time if I could. But yeah, AMC has their own system, and so they're not meshing with MoviePass's e-ticket system.
I see.
And yeah, it's the B&B theater, which are nice around here. Just they're limited
it's
in showtime.
It's way
and
far away.
They're
from
starting
me.
To. They're not that old, but they're starting to show their age. This one down in Wildwood.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like the seats are getting a little beat up, and they got moths.
Yeah, flying in front of the same thing here. I went and saw.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is distracting because I went and saw Hotel Transylvania 3 with my son.
Did he enjoy it?
Yeah, he loved it.
Oh, your son has horrible taste in movies.
And you thought bats were flying at you.
Yeah, right? And I was, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
But yeah, it kept flying in front of the screen. I'm like, damn it, that's so distracting because it's lit up, you know, and the screen's reflecting off of it and it's all bright and stuff. But anyway, but I think they're fairly nice. It's just, yeah, they were the first ones in our area to get the leather reclining seats. Like they were ahead of AMC,
yeah.
Ahead of market. Like they were the first. And
to
so,
where every theater had it too. Like it wasn't just like,
yeah.
One room had
yeah.
it.
I've never been to
and
one.
And so
those are so far away from me. I've
yeah.
never been to
yeah.
one.
But so they're the oldest now since they were first. And since they haven't updated now, they're starting to, you know, they don't have that new car smell like the other theaters.
Trust
basically.
Me, those other theaters don't have it either.
Yeah, well, not the ones you go
<That's>
to.
<true.
laughs> Tom, let me ask you, in Equalizer 2, why does the climactic scene have to be in a hurricane?
Because it's cooler that way.
What?
Yeah. The whole end of the movie is in a hurry.
Yeah, no. the whole movie's building to that. There's weather reports. Yeah. That's another way you know it's a movie for old people. They're telling you the weather for the whole film.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. We did a movie called Hurricane Heist.
Yeah, but this one is actually done way better.
Yeah, this is better than Hurricane Heist. But.
So how did this get made? Did Hurricane Heist? And then every next episode, they try to get an interview with either the director, the writer, a star.
Of Hurricane Heist?
And so they did an interview. I think it's Mark Harris that does them, or no, who is it? Not, no, that's the author that does books. Blake Harris, maybe.
Yeah, it's like they're one of their.
And so he interviewed the writer of Hurricane Heist. The guy wrote the script in a week.
I mean, good for him.
And made a pay.
He knocked out a script in a week and got paid for it.
They had a script.
Oh,
they had two versions of a script, and they brought him in, and he read it, and he went in front of all the execs, and he didn't think he was going to get the job because they're like, so what do you think of this? And he said, I just was honest. He said, I think this is. And they were like, oh, thank goodness, we did too. So they had him rewrite it. They gave him a week, and I mean, he whipped that movie together in a week. So that's,
it's like the Kevin Smith story about Superman. Yeah. Where like they brought him in. They're like, Warner Brothers is like, we want to work with you, and. We're going to throw some scripts your way, and you just tell me what you think. And one was like a Twilight Zone episode that they were turning into a movie. One was Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian. And then the third one was Superman. And he was like, well, I want Superman. And they're like, well, that's got so many people. Like, there's so many hoops you got to jump through. He's like, well, you just take it, read it, and bring it back and tell us what you think. And he's like, I read it, and it was awful. He was like, it was like a Batman 66 version of a Superman script. He's like, so I go back. I told him it sucked. Like, you know, I don't, can you get your money back from this script? It was terrible. And they're like, well, what would you do? And he's like, I wasn't prepared for that question. And then he wrote, and that's how he wrote the script.
Interesting.
That's how he got the job for Superman.
Gotcha. Huh.
That never got made.
Right.
Rest in peace, John Schnipp.
He still got paid.
Oh, he got paid.
Yeah. So anyway,
you can make a lot. You can have a lucrative career working in Superman movies that never get got made. Yeah.
That's a whole niche right there for you out there. So anyway, The Equalizer just about hitting its budget, which of course we know they don't get all that money. So I don't know. I never would have expected The Equalizer 2 to be a huge hit, though. So like, I don't know what they expected.
I think it's another example of them overestimating the appeal of the film by judging by the fact that they released it in July.
Yeah, yep.
This should have been like a March.
Absolutely,
movie.
Yep. That seems so odd.
Or
to
September.
Have.
Right.
Yeah.
Had that big of a budget, released in summer around the blockbusters, and then it made swallowed up. Yeah, it's at $65 million-ish domestic, and like to me that seems good, but not based on the budget. So it just,
well, when you're putting up against Ant-Man, Skyscraper, right. Mission Impossible, like it's all in the same top 10.
Yeah,
movies.
And the Equalizer 2 does not have the appeal of even those other ones. So anyway, speaking of Hotel Transylvania 3, that one is in the fourth place position this week with $12.4 million, a 48% drop in week 5. That movie is up to $120 million domestic, another $127 overseas. So we're approaching the $240-$250 on an $80 million budget. So
Transylvania really showed up.
They did.
They did.
Came out in droves.
It's their Mamma Mia.
Yeah. That's really surprising to me that Teen Titans movie, which came in at number 5, but that opened wide this weekend and was beat in the fifth week by Hotel Transylvania.
I think that Teen Titans, again, they overestimated that audience.
Yeah.
That was going to show.
It's such a popular show.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, kids.
I have no idea.
So is this really a theatrical release, or is this just
I think this is extra money relaunching
a TV show? Like,
no,
they'll do that. Like Powderpuff Girls had a movie and it like kind of relaunched.
No,
the TV
I mean,
show
I,
and,
no, they, no, this was, I mean, this is a popular TV show and they like made a feature movie that was like, they've been hyping it up for a while now. And
Nicolas Cage's Superman is in this movie.
Well,
that's
funny.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just seems interesting that Hotel Transylvania in week 5 didn't beat opening of Teen Titans Go.
I feel like Hotel Transylvania has more drawing power.
Well, clearly.
What led you to that decision? The monies. I just feel like Teen Titans Go does not have legs.
I guess it's the same thing with like the superhero movies where, you know, Thursday, Friday night, front loaded. I mean, they do big openings, but then everyone that wanted to see it saw it. But I mean, if it's amazing, they'll keep going. But otherwise, it's front loaded.
What if it's spectacular?
Well, then Spider-Man's in it,
or
I guess.
Sensational.
Well, probably Spider-Man's still in it then. But
what if it's web of?
What now, Kevin?
Then it's a musical? I don't know. I have no idea. So number five, Teen Titans Go, the movie, made $11.3 million. So just barely under Hotel Transylvania this week. But let's see. Did that open? Nope. No money overseas yet. So it had a $10 million budget they put on it, though. So, I mean.
I think this was a DVD movie that they were just threw in theaters.
Maybe it was, but they've been planning it for. I mean, like, I've heard about it for over a year now, though. Like, it just seems like they've been trying to make it a theatrical movie. You know, it didn't seem like a real quick one, but I don't know. Who knows what's behind it? But small budget, so they'll make their money back, and then they probably will air it or whatever.
It'll be on the DC Universe streaming.
Oh, maybe it will. Yeah, because it is Warner Brothers, so you're right. Number six, Ant-Man and the Wasp in week four made $8.9 million, a 46% drop, bringing its total to $183.6 million domestic and another almost $200 million overseas. So we're in the 380 range on a $120 million budget, I believe we said. It's funny, they never update it. But I remember we looked it up on Wikipedia, but usually by week four, five, whatever, they update the webpage every time I look at it. I'm like, not listed. What
does that have the exact same poster as Rogue Nation?
No.
Look at the poster for Rogue Nation.
Fallout or Rogue Nation?
No, Rogue Nation.
Rogue Nation?
Yeah.
Okay.
You had it up. That's why I said it. I guess you closed it.
I closed it right after we talked about it. Yeah, sorry. So for the listeners out there,
I thought it was almost the exact same. I thought they just copied the poster.
So for all the listeners out there, Google Rogue Nation.
Okay, that poster is very similar. It's the Fallout. Yeah.
So let's see. Nope, sorry. One goes top left to bottom right.
Sorry.
The other one goes top right to bottom left.
Same color scheme, same everything. Yeah.
Well, someday look up movie posters that look alike and you can have a field day on that.
There's been no, you know, so the Fox thing went down. It's done.
The
shareholders agreed.
Yeah, the board approved it. So now
you just need the government to approve
it. They just need James Gunn.
And then maybe James Gunn can get his job.
I read that the biggest hurdle with the government approved it. So, still some approval left,
right.
But their biggest hurdle has been approved. So it should be smooth sailing.
You know, it's funny when you look back at.
I heard that to get government approval, they insisted that Zack Snyder not be allowed to make a Marvel movie. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was in the contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure Kevin Feige was like, where do I sign?
Yeah.
Done. Not a problem.
So they're looking at the first half of 2019 to have this deal closed. So right before Avengers, which means they can tag on whatever they want at the end of that movie.
That would be, if that's true and they do it, that would be insane to be like, oh, by the way, here's the Fantastic
Four. Yeah,
one.
I don't think they'll film something, but they'll probably do one of those text tags, like, you know, whatever, logo.
Yeah,
not even that.
I mean, the ending for Infinity War was the Nick Fury calling Captain Marvel.
Right, exactly. Know,
so
I think they'll
do something like that.
They'll tag something like, because they're not going to have, obviously, the cast and
no,
the look and the costumes,
the cast,
but they'll have the logo or something. That'll be pretty big, I'm sure.
That's,
so,
I was looking back at just all of the things people have said, and it's just like, okay, so you need
in
to
history.
I mean, for the Disney and Marvel family at this
very
point,
time consuming.
Where it's just like your main guy for this whole franchise is a convicted felon. Mm-hmm. You, Sarah Silver, you know, Batista broke somebody's neck. Like it's just he snapped John Cena's neck in half with a power bomb.
But I mean, that doesn't mean he's a criminal.
No, that's fair. But I'm just like, Robert Downey Jr. is a convicted felon.
Oh, right.
You know, Sarah Silverman.
Tim Allen, anybody?
Yeah.
The voice of Toy Story?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No,
Sarah Silverman and the same Eddie Murphy.
If you're
going
to dig up people's past, go watch Eddie Murphy's stand-up from the 80s. Tell me, and wasn't he in the Haunted Mansion for Disney, a kid's movie?
Well, he was the voice of Mushu.
Mushu.
I mean, seriously, guys, like, if you're going to dig up people's past, there are so many celebrities that have said so many terrible things.
Right.
But when they're in the context of jokes.
I don't want to get back into all that. I'm just saying, like, Robert Downey Jr. went to jail for breaking into somebody's house with a gun, running around naked. You know, like his past is pretty public, and they keep him. Huh. James Gunn sends a tweet 10 years ago and apologizes for it. It's just like, fired.
Well, yeah, it's a weird situation.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Warner Brothers just here's $10 million. write our Green Lantern movie, direct our Green Lantern movie. Just do whatever you did over here. Just do it again.
I know. I said that. I was like, I think I tweeted like. And meanwhile, DC, they're like Omega Man.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Seriously though, Green Lantern though.
That's where he would go.
But give him a bigger, you know, known franchise though.
Yes, and give him Hal Jordan, who is basically Star-Lord.
Yeah, wow.
Just do the same thing.
Joel McHale is.
I would say Chris Pine. But Joel McHale also is a brilliant choice.
Yeah. I know it's a long shot, but I still really hope he comes home for that third movie. I mean, that was the last one.
Like it has to start filming like in 2 months.
Yeah, but I mean they can bring him back in 2 months.
Yeah, that's
within
true.
2 months.
I guess that's true.
So we'll see what happens. But anywho, back to the box office here. Number 7, Incredibles 2, in week 7, $7.5 million is a 37% drop.
Speaking of dirtbags. John Lasseter, but he's already gone. They've already fired him. Well,
I don't think he's gone yet.
Oh, really?
I think he's still on the lot.
He's on a leave of absence. That's what people are so mad about, is that they've kept John Lasseter around this whole time, yet they fired James Gunn. And James Gunn didn't physically harass people.
And Lasseter, by the way, leave of absence, still getting paid.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Right. He's still an employee of the company as opposed to someone that tweeted 10 years ago. So, yeah, people have all brought this up. Go online. If you want to see, there's plenty of discussion about this. But Incredibles 2 in week 7, that $7.5 million, lots of sevens here, bringing it up to $573 million domestic. Joe, what's our worldwide or our overseas take?
813.
What is that? This that seems light on here, but not your number. But
I was like, geez,
$383 million. So maybe it hasn't quite caught up yet. But you know, usually the domestic is lower or they're split. But
right. But
it's at almost 400. But you know what? Brad Bird just took a photo either in China or Japan, and he showed the cast there. He says that, you know, they've used the same voice cast from the original 14 years ago, which was cool, but it was opening this weekend. So I guess it's still rolling out, and that's why the number's a little low overseas. So
I stand by my number, though.
That will go up. But anyway, so 383 approaching 400 this weekend. So we're at over $950 million.
How did Coco do? Was that a billion-dollar movie?
I think it was.
Or it was close if it wasn't. It was pretty close, yeah. So anyway, yeah.
Was that Pixar or was that Disney Animation?
It's Pixar.
Okay.
So
here's how you know I saw it.
Hey, look out!
The Disney movies have been
good
lately.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not an animated movie guy, but
Wreck-It Ralph.
I go see Pixar stuff. But no, I don't.
Wreck-It Ralph is really good.
Ralph was great.
Okay,
it's really good.
It'll still be really good even if I don't see it.
But Paul, they need your.
But
$6.
But the current Disney stuff is basically Pixar.
I mean, it's at that caliber.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the same level as Pixar.
Okay.
But
fair enough.
He's saying he makes an exception, and that's it, is Pixar, just because
is
it's
it,
the
is
gold
it,
standard.
Is it because of the storytelling, or is it because of the animation?
It's like the same reason I don't go see all of the superhero movies, but I get sucked into the goddamn Superman versus Batman.
Oh, you picked the wrong one.
I know! Which makes me not want to go back and see more of them.
Yeah, you picked the wrong one.
Yeah, that's fair.
I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of a James Bond movie saying, I can't believe they got me again.
Coming in at number 8, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Still making money, $7 million, the 37% drop. That's at about $400 million domestic in week 6. And that one's approaching a billion overseas. It's $820+ million overseas. So over $1.2 billion on a $170 million budget.
I feel like the box office this year has been insane.
It is. This is a huge year.
It's a massive
year.
We're
in July, and it is already insane.
Yeah.
Like it's on track for a record year for sure. I think it's outpacing. Like as far as this point, it already is a record year.
Do we have any other massive budget? Oh, I guess we have Aquaman.
Oh.
And that's in November.
I mean, there's like...
we're going to start getting an Oscar bait here in a little bit.
There's that one with the girl with the big eyes. It's like looks like an anime character or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people involved with
that. Is
that
the Rodriguez one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he directing that?
I don't think that he's directing. I think he's just producing it.
Okay.
But then there's that, isn't the Immortal Engines or whatever? Is that
coming
out this year?
Oh, that's that new Peter Jackson one.
Yeah,
is that this year?
I thought it was this year. I don't watch the trailer, so I don't follow the releases.
Okay. So we got like
closely,
three
but,
fairly large.
But I think
budget.
There's a lot of big stuff like that coming out.
Okay.
And then, Fantastic Beasts, is that a Christmas release?
Probably.
I would think so, unless they're going to do it next year. But I
no,
think
they
that's
wouldn't
this
put
year.
It. They wouldn't have all. Of, they wouldn't have it at Comic Con.
Yeah, I mean they no, might, they but have, yeah. but yeah. So I mean, there's still some big stuff to come. But yeah, we're on track for a record year certainly. So yeah, Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom, $1.2 billion. That movie just making an insane amount of money. So, and you know what? I saw a trailer for Bumblebee. I don't know if that comes out Christmas too. That's another big.
I gotta tell you, that doesn't look as bad as I thought it would.
Oh, it looks better than the last.
It looks better than the Transformers last four stuff. Transformers.
Yeah, yeah, so, it might benefit from trying to tell a smaller story.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think
or a story.
Yeah,
it's also true.
And I don't think Michael Bay's in it.
He's not.
He's directing it.
John
so, I mean,
Cena's in it.
Ugh. And it looks
because
like
they couldn't,
a cameo.
They, because they couldn't get Marky Mark.
And the trailer, he's in one scene where he's like an army guy. Yeah. So like, I'm hoping that... See, when I heard John Cena was in it, I was thinking he was like that Mark Wahlberg character that's in the whole movie as the star.
He might
I
be
feel
the
like
bad
John
guy
Cena's
that's chasing
just,
down.
Yeah, like yeah. a little bit part, which is... That
but
might
it's
be
they
better.
Got the... Who's the gal from True Grit?
Oh.
Catherine Hepburn?
No.
Hallie Steinberg.
Yes.
She's
the girl.
I was wondering because she's kind of hasn't done that many movies. She's been doing music.
She did New Mutants that got canned.
Oh, okay. But like she's obviously she was 12 or 13 in True Grit. Mm-hmm. So like she's grown up since then and I couldn't place
that's
her.
How time works.
Oh, right. But usually
see,
actors do movies every year.
Did you see The Edge of 17?
No.
Man, that was good. That she's in that. It's her and Woody Harrelson. And it's very like it's that age. It's that coming of age story where it's just like I'm far enough away from it where I was like I don't really identify with this movie at all, but it's really good.
What was it?
Age of 17.
Edge
of 17.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Woody Harrelson and her, and
it's kind of, like it's kind of funny at the same time.
Yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah. It's good very good, very good. You gotcha. Should check it out. Yeah,
okay,
she's
cool.
Great.
You should see
it.
Eighth Grade.
Yeah, that's really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good.
Bo Burnham's directorial debut.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
About an eighth grade girl. Like, he wrote it, he directed it. It's so good.
It's hard to believe that it was written by a man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that performance by this girl, Elsie Fisher, you're going to hear that name a lot in the next few years.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is amazing.
Now, there's a similar movie out where it's about a middle school girl who puts together a heist. And that's Ocean's Eighth Grade, and you don't want to see that one.
That sounds awful.
I would watch that movie, though.
I mean, so would I. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch that movie if it comes out. So anyway, Jurassic World making all the money despite being trash. And number 9, Skyscraper, a movie that wishes it had some Jurassic World money.
Yeah.
$5.4 million, a 52% drop in week 3, not even $60 million, $59.2 million domestic. And overseas, I don't remember it having too much money, but apparently it's not even on my charts here.
He's coming back. He's going to wrestle.
Yeah, because the Skyscraper fell through.
Wrestle. He's going to be on Raw on Monday. Yeah, and he's going to. The rumor is he's going to wrestle Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 35.
You know when The Rock goes back to the squared circle that he had a movie that didn't do quite as well as he wanted. But anyway, Skyscraper had a $125 million budget. It has made $166 million overseas now, which we didn't have that number before. So I guess the foreign box office, who it was clearly made for, came out to see it. So over $220 million.
That actually seems low because the movie was targeted for the entire nation of China.
Right. Yes. I mean, you could tell, yeah.
There's 1.3 billion people who should have seen this movie.
No, it's
half of them are in it.
Yeah. It's definitely light, but we mentioned on the review, I mean, it clearly was made for the foreign market. And but when it opened, I don't think it was there yet, and the number was really light, and we're like, oh, boy. But, you know, so 221 in week 3 on a 125, so it's made its money back. So at least it's not...
It's not tanking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll see what that continues to do. But rounding out the top 10, The First Purge making $2.2 million, a 55% drop, bringing that total to $65.5 million domestic in week 4. And let's see, do we have any foreign? $36 million. So over $100 million on a $13
million
budget.
Telling you.
God, that guy.
He gets it.
Yeah.
I wonder if that formula works for like action movies.
I think there's
or comedies.
I think it's hard for it to work for an action movie because it's just a much more expensive
big
type of movie to make.
Effects.
Yeah,
horror is just suspense and the music.
I think it's hard to work. Get it to work for comedy. I think they're trying. I think you're seeing them trying to replicate it in comedy. But I think the problem you run into is that there's going to be no foreign market.
That's true.
For comedy.
Comedy's all American.
Yeah. And so, but I think you are seeing that. I think in some level, that's like what The Big Sick was last year. I think
they were like,
let's throw a little bit of money at this guy and see what he can do. And he crushed it. But
yeah.
But,
well, it's also, what was the Adam McKay one? That he did not,
the Big Short?
Dramedy. Yeah. The Big Short. Yeah. And then the big, God, that's weird. The Big Short and The Big Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. But I don't know. Like, I feel like there has been this resurgence in stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like on Netflix, there's a new one.
Netflix is your home. Good.
Whenever you have a new media platform.
I guess that's true.
It's cheap content.
Comedy's so cheap because they're already doing specials. All they have to do is film it and throw it up
there.
Right,
right, right.
And Netflix, I mean, they're Comedy Central. Like, people aren't watching Comedy Central. It's now you could, remember when they were like a new special?
Oh, they had, absolutely.
Well, and when HBO first started.
That's true. HBO, they were
going to comedians because it was cheap original content. Right. All they had to do was set up a camera.
It's written.
Remember A&E's Evening at the Improv?
Right.
They ran that 400 times a week.
Yeah, I mean, even MTV used to have the half-hour comedy hour. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it was like everybody was
I mean, there's so many of them out there. And like you said, you just set up a camera. They're touring. They're doing stand-up. It's written.
Right.
Film it. Put it up there.
You know, I remember a story about Evening at the Improv. When they first did the first episode of that show with whoever was the guest MC, a non-comedian for some reason.
Yeah.
And then they had like five or six comedians. The audience was allowed to come in for free, like they were going to a taping of The Price is Right or something. And you don't necessarily get a comedy audience. People who aren't going to this expecting to see stand-up comedy. And so they did not air that episode.
Oh,
they had
the
same MC and the same comedians then do the show again with people who had to pay as if they were going to the Improv, and people had a great time.
Interesting.
And it was so much better.
Nice.
And that was the real pilot that got the show going.
Wow. Huh.
That makes sense, though. Like, I mean, you hear comedians complain all the time about, you know, the bachelorette party that got in on a coupon or like they're just not there for it. And then that's the ones that are talking over or yelling out.
So
and
have you seen these Netflix things where they're doing 15 minutes with various comedians?
Which one was Rachel Feinstein on?
I think that she's one of
the
ones.
The first one.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. Yeah. Here's my question. Is that the same audience that was brought in for a two-hour show, and they just made them all change seats for every different 15-minute set?
They very well could have been.
There's no way a whole audience is paying to go in. Okay, we got a 15-minute show. It'll be $8. Come on in.
Oh, they gotta do 10, 15 minutes at a time. There's no way they're just in for 15. You know, they probably film a whole bunch of 15.
Yeah, but if you look at the crowd, it's different.
Yeah,
like for each comedian, it's a different looking crowd.
Right. So the people in the front row of one are not
probably,
the front row of the next one.
Yeah, probably swapped
around. I think they go, okay, Group A, you're coming over here. Group B, go over there.
I think that show, for me, is problematic in that I think it shows that Netflix is strip mining comedians. And
it could be.
And they can't.
You're getting a tight 15.
Because you can't find enough to have an hour anymore. And so now they're like, so in comedy, you have an opener, a middler, and a headliner.
Right.
They've gobbled up all the headliners, and now they're having to go down to the middlers.
Yeah.
And a middler can't do an hour.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we'll string together a bunch and do 15 minutes. And that's troublesome because they're so desperate for content that I think they ran out of headliners.
One of the things I think they would be smart to do is Amy Schumer has surrounded herself with some very funny female comedians.
Yeah.
So it's like it's her, it's Nikki Glaser, it's Rachel Feinstein, Adie Bryant. Like what they could do is do like a blue collar comedy tour.
Yeah.
And have her as the headliner and have those. I don't know if Adie Bryant does stand up, but I mean, she's very funny. But have them, you know, open for her. Because I mean, Nikki Glaser is a seasoned comic.
And she's done specials.
She's done specials. Rachel Feinstein's in the same boat. Like, they have more than 10 minutes of material. Let them open for her.
Yeah.
And you get an hour and a half. You're going to get a new Amy Schumer special.
Having seen Amy Schumer's last special, perhaps she doesn't perform that night and just have the rest of them.
Yes,
go.
Wait, I would
maybe
vote for
that. Have Eliza Schlesinger close.
She's great. She's great.
Oh, my God. She's amazing.
And
I just.
She's hot.
Well, yes,
but
yes.
I just watched.
That's the important thing in comedy.
Yes.
I just watched her new special on Netflix.
Elder Millennial.
She's hilarious.
Funny
because Katie has seen her other special. She's like, she does a whole bunch of stuff on Netflix, and I thought it was amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and watch the rest. But I'm like, where has she been?
The problem with that is she's very similar to Nikki Glaser.
Okay,
like they have kind of the same. She has a different delivery style.
Yeah,
but their jokes are kind of the same, like in the same realm of stuff.
Okay,
but like the four of them together. would be an all-star tour. Like, that's, to me, that like the four, they're the top four female.
But they don't have to do that now. The reason the blue-collar comedy guys had to do a movie is because there was no Netflix platform to do that at the time.
That's true.
And HBO wasn't going to give them 2 hours.
Right.
And by the way, before that, you had the original Kings of Comedy with Cedric and D.L. Hughley and Bernie Mac. And who was the fourth one? Steve Harvey.
Yeah, Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is shown every once in a while on one of the cable
shows.
Still
funny.
Oh, man. Steve Harvey's set and Cedric's set. I don't even need to watch the other two, even though they're good.
Bernie Mac is still, like, he's...
My stomach will be hurting by the time the end of Cedric's bit.
Steve Harvey has a great act.
Yes, he does.
So, yeah, Purge, I mean, making money, as all the Blumhouse movies do. And so, bonus 11 and 12 to Unfriended Dark Web and Sorry to Bother You, both making $1.5 million. And that is the box office.
I wonder if that deal that Blumhouse had with Hardwick was in that comedy realm.
What do you mean?
Well, Hardwick had entered a deal with Blumhouse where he was going to produce stuff.
Oh.
And I wonder if it was, I mean, I don't see Hardwick doing horror things. Yeah. I could be wrong.
And they've already got that.
Right. So I wonder if the Hardwick deal was kind of similar to the Blumhouse model for comedy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or for nerd stuff.
Or for nerd stuff. That's true.
That's what I would have figured. But that's true.
Did he get his job back?
He did.
He did, believe it or not.
AMC. So,
I mean at Nerdist.
No.
He's
been out of Nerdist.
He sold Nerdist. He jumped on, what is it,
ID10T is his company, yeah.
But yeah, he had a deal with Blumhouse that I don't, like, that nobody ever talked about it. I don't know if Jason Blum pulled the plug on it.
I'm guessing they were purposely not talking about it recently.
But he's reinstated.
So, yeah, I mean, they had a third party independent, you know, company that deals in matters that has experience in this arena, and they investigated and they found no evidence of wrongdoing. So, I mean, that's...
Wouldn't have been great if Hardwick had made a deal with Les Moonves.
Ooh. Would have been bad.
There's a lot of weird stuff. Who was the...
You know, he goes home and he goes, hey, I'm back in... What?
Oh, no.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. That was...
And I was going to do a show with Louis C.K.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. That's just like left and right coming out. But yeah. I mean, at least they're cleaning up. I mean, that's the thing. It's like,
unfortunately, you're cleaning up some people that don't need to be cleaned up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know? I don't want those people cleaned up. Right. But it's like, you know what? It's crazy. There's this many creeps out there. But, you know, get rid of them
So, like, in my line of work, it's not that crazy because it's nuts.
Yeah.
But, like, to see the spotlight be shined on them and watch them scatter like cockroaches in Hollywood. Like, you always feel like, you know, old timey Hollywood has all kinds of stories like this where women had to do certain things to get a job. And it's like, oh, that was the 40s and 50s. That's not happening anymore. And then all of a sudden, here come the floodgates.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, it never changed.
Right.
It's the exact same stuff.
That's the way men used to act back in the 21st century.
But at least it's not accepted anymore is the thing. Though.
Correct.
I mean, it may have been going on. I mean, a lot of bad things happen in history, but it's like, I mean, it's crazy that we're seeing so much of it, but I'm glad that they're getting rid of these people,
right.
You know,
yeah.
and things are changing. You can see, I mean, by the directors, by the casting, like you can see things are slowly changing. And
the bravery of the women willing to tell their stories finally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting out in front
I think
of
as
it.
They get more traction, it gets easier. Not to take away from that.
But it's always hard to be the first.
Sure, but it's like, oh, maybe if I say this, someone will listen and believe.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, now is the time. I mean, and obviously you don't want false claims, but I mean, if you have a story and you're worried about saying it, like, you've got support. So it's great that they feel they can come out and they're not going to lose their job because now people are...
And then you've got the Corey Feldman where he's just like, no, donate to my thing and then I'll tell you everything. And then people donate. He's like, I need more.
I feel bad for him though, because I do feel like that kid was
he absolutely was
abused and messed up. He's just not right.
He's gone.
You know, it's sad.
Drugs are a hell of a thing.
Yeah. So anyway, but that is the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
I'm Paul. You can find me at harrisonline.com, and thanks to Kevin, my trivia website harrischallenge.com.
All right.
Yeah, 15 out of 15 on that Die Hard. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Nice.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S, 21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me online at Kevin R. Brackett on Twitter.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show itself, you can do so on Twitter at Real Spoilers or on Facebook at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Don't forget our Patreon account for $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content and we like you extra. So that's at patreon.com/Real Spoilers.
And Joe will call you and talk about pro wrestling.
Yeah, dude, whatever.
If you want it.
Or yeah. Mamma Mia.
And for $6 a month, he won't. So there's that.
Also true.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Up those donations.
That's right. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Mission Impossible, whatever this one is subtitled. Until then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.